welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Well, the reason when I haven't got the chairs up and started to do that part of the interview, and the reason I texted Brian at about midnight last night, you were obviously awake. Were you on the streets? Asleep?
Just busy with God.
Busy with God. A message came via text. And this whole thing of telling stories and thing, it's absolutely crucial for us at this time. All right? There's a scripture in Revelation that talks about by his blood and by the word of their testimony. And that's rather awesome that our stories are being put in the same bracket as the blood of Jesus for the salvation of people. Wow, it makes you realise the power of the story. And one of the reasons Rob was going to talk was he was going to talk about some ordinary things, actually. But ordinary things where God has just been in it. Because we can think the stories have got to be all the super-duper ones. But I just felt I needed to tell you a little bit about what I've been up to this week. So I was at Ebenezer Church last night and at Hollybush on Friday. And God's just doing something amongst us. You know? When he wants to do something in a church, he probably always, goes through the leadership. And the only exception might be, I suppose, if the leadership aren't interested. I'm very interested. And I think it began at the Harrogate Leaders Conference, but it's probably a story of progression over time. Another time was when Dan prayed for me, because God had done something powerful in his life. It's funny, you know, one of the things that Bill Johnson said when we were in Harrogate was this testimony, really, of how they'd struggled with finances for years in his life as a pastor, him and his wife. And he'd been sort of seeking God for this anointing and, you know, got men of God to pray for him and all that stuff. And then one day, he felt the Holy Spirit say, go and ask that couple to pray for you. Now, the couple were just a couple who were part of the church. And so he said he felt a little bit strange because it certainly wasn't in their culture at the time. It's probably not quite so much here. But he left the platform, if you like, and went to the back and said, I need you to pray for me. You've got what I've been looking for, which was this breakthrough in finances. And this couple prayed for him. And he had the breakthrough in his finances. Amazing. But the thing that he said was, it's very easy to sort of just look out for the big names and the big people and the pastor and the pastoral director and, you know, the people that got it made. And he just said, you know, there's deposits of God in all of us. We've all got things to release in one another. And that happened to me on Friday night at Hollybush, which I'll come back to. I've been talking to you really for quite a while on one very small part of one verse, which was, if you remember, I will build my church. And the importance of two words in that, build and church. And so most of what I shared over this weekend was from that revelation that God has been giving us. And particularly Friday night, I didn't get so much time last night, the Irene. Do you remember that Greek word that means peace? There was an Irene at Hollybush, but she was out in the kitchen. The Irene, the peace of God, but it's peace to your body and your mind and to your everything. It's health and finances and your peace of mind and your salvation. It's everything. It's the whole package, if you like. Shalom is the Hebrew word, which is in many respects a richer word, speaks of even greater blessing. And so I spoke on that at Hollybush, and we'd had some great worship, louder than here. It certainly was louder. It was louder at Ebenezer as well, funnily enough. And then I just, Rob came and gave a testimony, really. He was supposed to have 10 minutes, he took 20. But I wasn't going to stop him because I've never heard the young man speak quite like that. He was passionate, and he just imparted something. There was a whole excitement rose up, and faith rose up in the people watching. You know, that young man's going to go far in God. Jim, Pastor Jim, is the pastor there. And he's 82, but boy, is he on fire for God. Although he told a story of a man who came to see him, and he was talking to him. No, I didn't come to see him. He talked to him on the phone, who calls him Young Jim. Because he's still serving the Lord, although he can't drive anymore. He gets his son to drive him. Though I hate to think how old his son is, actually, because his next birthday, which is a few weeks away, is 101. So we're in it for the long haul. So if you're 80 years old and sitting in this hall, that's another 21 years of fruitfulness. And I love Jim because he always talks about what God is teaching me now. You know, and he's been in ministry since the 60s and in leadership since the 60s. And it's always about, this is what God is saying to me now. And this is how God is changing some of his understanding now. You know, and I think, if I want to be that open when I'm 82 to the new things of the Lord. He doesn't change, but his revelation is always new because we get boxed into these understandings. Anyway, we did that. We talked about the, or I talked about after Rob, the Irene of God. And then I said, so what we're going to do is we're going to stand and let the glory of God fall. So no band. Didn't have the worship team. So everybody was just sitting there just like you are now. And we welcome the presence of God into the room at Hollybush. Did a similar thing the following night at Ebenezer, but hadn't had the opportunity really to lift faith in the same way, because I was only allowed to speak for 15 minutes, which you can imagine was a miracle. And funny really, in a room with just a bunch of people sitting, you know, no music to create an atmosphere, and the glory of God fell. No other way to describe it. A few people, you know, made noises just because it was like, you know, whoa, whoa. It was a shock. And we just let the glory of God rest on people's shoulders. Both nights I talked about the Ark of the Covenant, you know, God's presence amongst the Old Testament people, and the fact that it had a ring on each of the corners because it had to be carried with poles so that the presence of God was resting on the shoulders of the priests. Why was that important? Because everything in what God gave the people in those days was pointing forward to Jesus. And so if you were to do it in your own way, like David did once by putting the ark on a cart, it's not going to demonstrate the prophetic message that God has. And so it had to be carried on the priest's shoulders to show that today, after Jesus, his presence is to rest on our shoulders. And I think this is what God is doing amongst us right now. This is a now thing. If you're a Christian and then you've probably, I hope, at some time been filled with the Spirit, baptized with the Spirit. When you get born again, you get filled with the Spirit, actually, but then there's a kind of an increasing time. And actually, we're to be continually filled with the Spirit. But this is different. It's the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God is the presence of God, it is the glory, resting on us. And the difference is, God just suddenly starts to do it. In the past couple of weeks, I've ministered and experienced God in ways I've never ever experienced before. I was saying to Kate last night, I said, all the time at the moment, and long may it continue, I feel like I've been in an intense time of meeting with God. And you know, at that end of that time, you sometimes feel that weightiness of God on you. You know he's with you. But it's like that all the time. Having a cup of tea, watching television, even a glass of wine last night, he didn't disappear. Presence of God, it's like that all the time. But then there are times still, like now, where it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And it feels like something pressing down on my, literally pressing down on my shoulders. But this isn't for me alone. It's so strong I'm starting to have trouble speaking. I hope you know, those of you that know me, for those of you that don't know me, I don't put stuff on. I hate the fake. And I'm not given to experiences, actually. The glory's here. Some of you may feel it, some of you may not. It's okay, don't worry if you don't feel anything. Oh, it's great too. You will. So the glory of God fell. Because the whole thing about what we are doing now is it's about helping people to encounter Jesus. And there is a truth in that we haven't been able to do it in this way before. Because the presence of God has not been with us in the way the presence is with us now. When we go into our workplace or the supermarket or meet with our friends or whatever we do, this presence, this glory, goes with us. And it just opens things up. Things just happen that you don't manufacture. It's not that you don't talk to people about Jesus. And Paul, St. Paul writes, since we know what it is to persuade men. You know, it's still that we're there with the intelligent answers. But there's something about the fact that God is with us. And this is going to increase. It will also draw people in. It will frighten some people off for a while, maybe. It's like the man, I believe, came in when we last gave out coffee and tea on a Street Angels night that just encountered God in this room because he came into this room. Because you imagine all of us gathering here, the presence of God is then here. In fact, at the moment, the Blue Lounge and the Barbican are being saturated in the anointing. Little do they know. They think it's just the drums that penetrates. So the presence of God came on the room in Hollybush. And we just let the Spirit rest and then began to ask two things. There's two things last night as well. One, pain, and one, mental health issues. Those were the two things I knew God was going to deal with. I've been blessed with an anointing on my life for a long time to see people released from pain. Kind of odd, because as you know, I'm often in pain because of my own back, but there you go. But it's changing gear. God's doing something different. Anyway, I asked people to raise a hand if they'd been touched by God? Very easy thing. Lots of people. Then I asked for people who had experienced some relief from pain. A lot of people still. 80%. Still quite a lot. Completely gone. Just three. But just three people healed. Completely. Just by waiting in God's presence. And I got, like we did last week, people prayed for the people that hadn't yet been healed, and more were touched by God, and more got healed. There was a lot of people healed on Friday night. There was one elderly chap. He was one of the ones that got healed straight away at the beginning. I should think he was mid-70s, maybe. Always dodgy. Casey happens to listen to this, and he's only 69. But let's go for mid-70s. And he said, well, he was just so excited. And he just said, I was in pain all the time. All my joints hurt and I was really stiff. I couldn't bend. Standing up and sitting down were really difficult. And then he started sort of doing this on his chair to show, you know, how all the people immediately around him that obviously knew him well all just started to clap and cheer because they could see he was doing something that he'd never been able to do, well, hadn't been able to do for years. And he said the pain is 100% gone. There's nothing there. That was lovely. Just great to see his face. There was another lady who... you see, the pain can be all kinds of things. It can be headaches. It can be something you ate. It could be cancer. It could be, you know, all kinds of complications. But pain... as in disability, as in pain that's giving disability, not just the normal experience of take your hand out the flame that keeps us safe, but not pain that goes beyond what we're supposed to experience to keep us safe, is not what God has for us, particularly pain from disease, of course. And so we don't necessarily really need to know what the diagnosis is. Sometimes you ask because it can help the person, but pain just needs to go. From migraines to cancers to blood disorders to whatever it is. It's sometimes a spirit of infirmity. Sometimes, quite often, there's a spirit of infirmity linked in, but that's not a scary thing. That's just to get out. Or it is just an illness. But whatever it is, the presence of God sorts that out. So, what we're doing in this time, especially when we pray for people, we haven't got to think about whether we're getting our words right. It's good to get them right, but don't worry too much about it. Because you're releasing Jesus and the presence. So, these two are very receptive to the presence, particularly, but it could be for anybody. If I start to minister to them, they start to come under increasing glory of God. They're particularly receptive, these two, so it's nice to pray for them. You see, already they're starting to experience something of God just because I've put hands on their head. It's not me, it's the glory. I didn't think you were going to start laughing, I might not have done it. Brian's going to slip off the chair in a minute. It's the weight. They're not messing about. I'm not really doing anything. I'm talking to you. It's heavy, isn't it? But they're very open. I'm very blessed because they don't think, oh, it's just the pastor. So they're open to God moving. Sometimes you see these things happening like happened Friday because you're a visiting speaker. And they think, oh, something's bound to happen, it's a visiting speaker. Sometimes when it's just your pastor, it's Paul again. one of the reasons I'm called Pastor Paul is not because it bigs me up. It's so that we remember the anointing and honour the anointing. When you honour me, you're honouring the anointing, because it says to leaders, you need to give them double honour because of the call of God on our lives. Anyway, aside from you two sitting on the floor now, this lady has her hands. She had pain in all sorts of places, but the key thing that was in pain all the time was in her hands, and they were all caught up and got, you know, she had trouble moving her fingers. And so I stood next to her, and I just said, "Well, you're going to feel." I find a lot of the time, not all the time, God now tells me what they're going to feel and what they're going to experience, and it seems to help people just to believe. I just kind of know it. I don't see it. I don't have James Maloney photographs. That would be cool, but I haven't got that yet. And I just told her about the oil washing through her fingers and stuff, and the heat that she was going to feel. I mean, often it's similar things for everyone. And she just started to move her fingers, and then she just started beaming, and she said, "There's no pain in my hands. It's all gone." She said, "There's still a bit of pain in my shoulders." So we said, "Well, should we deal with that as well?" We need to thank God for the, "It's getting better. I feel a bit better." Rather than putting that down, let's celebrate that the healing has begun. But don't end with that expectation of it getting a bit better. Then it gets to 80%. Let's wave our hands and shout, "God is healing me." Because it's happening in your body. Very often when you're 80% better from pain, and this is something that Bill Johnson was talking about, and you start declaring that, that's when you get the rest. Because you've got the faith to publicly say, "This is happening now." We can't get away from our faith and its role in healing. But we don't have to be scared of it. Because it's just a mustard seed. You don't need much faith, because God's so big. And so reliable and so wonderful. Because the faith is in him. There's the old example, you might have heard it, of sitting on a chair. I've done it myself. You know, and you've got faith in the chair. You had faith to sit down today. You didn't check the chair out first. You just assumed it would work. It's okay on one level, but God's not a chair. God is a person. And faith is a relationship. And the relationship is so solid and secure because of who he is. You know, and all those feelings we get of, "I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, I don't know whether I can carry this through, I've been put down, I've done this wrong," all that stuff that can build up. When you stand next to him, you realize it's all just lies from the enemy, because he loves me. The whole reason the glory of God and the peace of God rests on your shoulders, "I love you." Jesus loves to spend time with you. He loves to be with you. Yeah, you did that. Yeah, you did this. Yes, you weren't good enough at that. Yes, you should have pursued in prayer. Yes, you should be reading your Bible. Yes, you should have loved your wife more. Yes, you should have cleaned the house. Yes, you should have been nice to that friend. Whatever it is. But yes, I love you. Maybe you experience rejection from another believer, maybe someone within your own, this church. Maybe they said something that was unkind and totally unjust. But that's not the Lord saying it. That's just that they're being perfected like you. So this lady was healed, her back was healed, she was completely pain-free. And then she said, "Can you pray for..." Is it okay just to tell these stories? Because I'm not really preaching today. I'm just telling you what happened. When I was at Ebenezer, I told them, I was talking about faith being an adventure, because I had to speak on what is faith. And so I spoke about faith is adventure, faith is excitement. Told them about, very quickly, mind you, because of the time thing, told them about Moses and Joshua. You know, by faith, Joshua was able to take the promised land. But they had to fight for the promises. That verse in Acts 9:31 that Jimmy gave me, that prophetic word for us at that time, talks about the people enjoyed a time of peace. But the word enjoyed means to take hold of and hold on to. And we have to take hold of the promise. We have to take hold of the glory of God. Not by striving and stressing, but just believing. Not worried about, well, even our feelings are saying. Just, well, that's what it says, so that's what's happening. Anyway, this lady says to me, can you pray for my friend here? And obviously you say yes in these situations. And she said, she's got a broken metal plate in her foot and the screws come loose. And the bone's broken, which the plate was there for. So she's having real trouble walking and lots of pain. Because this screw was pressing in. Sounds horrible, doesn't it? And the lady who had this, she said, I want you to pray because I just want it to dissolve. These extraordinary miracles need to become commonplace. Not just something that happens at this, although it will be happening at this. So, I'm thinking, and it's very easy to step back. I hadn't realized, didn't think I did it, is how often you try and make something happen, almost to cover up for God. Well, if God doesn't do it, I'll see if I can do it. You don't really think like that, but there's something of a strain and a stress that comes in. If they're not healed, God's going to get a bad name. Yeah, really. It's as if anything to do with that is my responsibility. So, without trying to get back into that place, I realise, well, it's just releasing the presence of God. It doesn't matter whether it's pain we don't know about or it's a broken metal plate and screw that needs to dissolve. It's the same thing. The lady whose hands hurt, her friend, the way she described it, it was a degenerative thing in her fingers. So the fact that she was healed meant that there had been a recreative work that had gone on in her fingers. So it was a miracle. Ooh. Anyway, prayed for this lady. We prayed again. And she was still in pain. And when I left her at the end of the evening, she was still in pain. She was very excited because she was able to walk again. I mean, she could walk, but she was walking with a lot. We were walking along the front of the church, and she was just saying, this is amazing, I haven't been able to do that. And then she turned to me after we'd just been walking. She said, I need to pray for you. It's kind of a reversal of roles. And suddenly I knew it was like that person that Bill Johnson said. The person in the middle of the congregation, this elderly lady, had got something from God. I knew at that point. And she began to pray for me. She spoke as if she was God, and she was just saying that he was released. I suppose the summary of it, without going into detail, was the releasing of these healing miracles and creative miracles, and things happening by faith that I thought I'd been moving by faith, but it would be a completely different place, and that the glory of God was increasing. It was very, very powerful, and God just confirmed it. I felt like I was in a, it was just washes of, oh, I can't explain it. It was like, the last time I remember it was once when James Maloney prayed for me. It was like that, very, very powerful. You knew what she was saying was, yeah, this is right. Not just for me, but for us. And so I didn't fall over, but boy, it was close. So I just wanted to stand there and get everything. Anyway, she finishes praying and she says about these creative miracles, not just healings, miracles. And the meeting's finished by now. And there's somebody else that wants prayer. She's a very timid lady. And in fact, her husband comes and gets me. And the first miracle of the evening was that when we got there, we met one another in the cafe, which gave this woman just enough courage to let me go and pray for her. Wonderful how God sets people up. But I went over to her. And she began to describe her condition, and I realized this was no healing. This was going to have to be a miracle. she had had electric shock therapy. You know, where you have electricity put through your brain to try and cure various conditions. So she'd had electric shock therapy, and it had damaged her brain considerably. It was linked in with, she explained later, that when she was a child as well, she'd been very dominant left-handed and had been forced to do everything with her right. And this, according to her psychiatrist, had caused her brain to be wrongly wired while it was still developing, because it was being forced to do what it didn't want to do. So she had terrible cognitive, mental problems, thinking. She had a bad stammer. The electric shock therapy had damaged the nerves that control the face muscles, so she permanently looked sad and miserable, even when she wasn't. She had very little confidence, as we've already said, and there were other complications caused by the other mental health issues caused by this condition of her brain, really. So I knew this isn't a healing, this is a brain that's got to be rewired. So I just took her left hand and said, well, you're in the presence of Jesus. She started to make all kinds of noises, like, ooh, ooh, ooh. And then she was able to explain that it felt like electric currents, but not electric currents, because she'd had that, going through her brain. She could feel all kinds of stuff happening inside her head. And she was explaining this. And I said to her, have you noticed you're not stammering? Which got her a bit more excited. And just kept praying for her. Well, I say praying for her, really, I was holding her hand. And God was doing it. She just had enough faith. Just enough, because we'd met in the cafe, that God was going to... She was like the woman that pressed through the crowd. She just had enough faith that as I took her hand, she would encounter the Lord. And she did. And then she began to smile. Then she began to laugh. And her whole face lit up. And she said, it's like a black cloud has come out of my brain. I can think. I mean, how do you... You can't measure that. But she just said, I can think. Everything's clear. And I saw her later in the cafe, because they have chips. Midnight and they're having chips. And she was with a group and she was laughing and joking. Her face had the broadest laugh and smile you could ever see. Her husband was ecstatic. He got his wife back. Then another lady came up to me, because it went on for a very long time after this meeting, because most of these healings actually did take I was with each person quite a while God just did something. I mean, there's others, I haven't mentioned them all. I've just given you a few highlights. But this other lady, it's nice to talk to, because it started off with a story of her own that she told me. She said, you came here, we think it's 3 years ago, it might have only been two, and the main meeting shed was closed, and we met in, or shed, church, we met in the small church, as they call it there. And she said, you were doing healing then, as she put it. And I remember it, we cleared all the chairs out, and it was, a hands-on type thing. Anyway, this lady, bless her, she'd been, previous to coming to this meeting, 8 months earlier, she'd been in a bad car accident, and it left her with a bad back and severe pain that she was in all the time. But she had a number of things, and she said, I was coming forward, sort of waiting for you to get to me and put your hand on me. And she's thinking, what am I going to say? She said, because some people you were asking, what is it you want? She said, so I was trying to work out what it was I wanted. But she said, I knew I needed something. And again, it's like this lady, the one in the crowd that pushed through for the bleeding to stop. If you know that story, if you don't, I'll tell you about it another time. Anyway, she said, and you got to me, and I didn't get a chance to say what was wrong, she said, because you just put your hand on my head, and the next thing I knew, I crashed to the floor like a sack of potatoes, she said, and I was thinking, oh no, my back. And she said, and then I was rolling around. I remember there were some of those that night, there were quite a few. She was rolling around the floor, laughing, causing all kinds of disorder. And she said, the moment your hand went on my head, the pain went. She said, and that was 3 years ago, and it's never returned. I don't normally do lots of stories like this. I just felt that this morning I should, because I want you to realize this is for all of us. You experienced God in the worship, didn't you? That's so that we can walk with the presence of God wherever we go after this. It's different now. It's different. Don't try and pray for people. Just know that you bring them into the presence of Jesus. And try and listen to what God tells you to do. Because it can be different with different people. Don't just think, I've got to say the right words. Just listen to Jesus. And you may get it wrong or you may get it right. But I tell you what, you'll get it right 98% of the time. Because you are spiritual and you do hear from God. It says quite clearly in the Word, my sheep hear my voice. Just try it. If it's really, really weird and wacky, then maybe take a rain check on that one and check it out. But most of the time, it's put your hand here, or tell them this, or just hold their hand, as it was with that lady that I was just telling you about. Anyway, this lady with the healed back, it turned out that one of the things that wasn't healed that 3 years ago was a whole series of mental health problems. And mixed up with all kinds of other issues. And was mixed in with severe headaches. And the outworking, and some of it had come from an attack of meningitis, and I'd shared briefly my story of meningitis and how God had restored my mind from that, from the initial not being able to think clearly. I remember from my own issue, one of the most noticeable things was when I had it, it was at the beginning of the whole Sudoku craze, and I used to be really into them, I was doing them. And after the meningitis, I couldn't do them. I couldn't hold the different information in my mind long enough to solve them. It's not an issue now. It's all healed. But anyway, I'd stared that little bit of story, and she had similar problems, similar issues. And again, just release the presence of God. Did a thing that Bill Johnson had talked about, because it seemed appropriate, about removing the band that often mental illnesses around people's head. It's like an act that just demonstrates what's happening in the spirit. And again, it was like seeing someone's face transform. It just suddenly became bright. And she just said, I can think. She knew instantly that it had happened because the way she could think just changed. And a few of the things I said about what God is doing with her and with the lady before, they both said, what you were saying was the opposite, if you like, of what had gone wrong. You were speaking how it was being corrected, what other people have told me has gone wrong. You don't have to do that. But sometimes when God gives you that, it's so that their faith is just lifted. And she was healed, and there were other healings that night. But let me just finish with last night, because that was even in Scarborough. I was asked to speak by Nick Welford at Ebenezer Baptist at their refuel event, and that was interesting because I was wondering, well, how am I going to do this? And God just said, do it, do what you've been doing. So I spoke briefly, and there you sort of speak on a platform, and you feel like you're sort of a long way away from people like this. So I got off the platform and came down amongst the pews, chairs. And I thought, well, we'll do what we did last night. Just let's rest in the presence of God. And the presence of God is going to come and rest on your shoulders. And we just stood. And the glory fell. After we'd finished, one young man came up. I don't know how old he was, 17, 18. And he said, when you said the presence of God is here, he said, suddenly, I got, and he was showing me his arms, I've got bad eczema. He said, as you said that, all the itching disappeared. He said, and it's still gone. I can't believe it. The skin hadn't completely re-healed, but all the itching had gone. But nobody prayed for him. I'm not even sure there was a huge expectation of God doing stuff, really, if we're honest. And the only other one I'll talk about from last night, I think there were other things going on that I don't know about, but judging by what people were saying and talking to one another about, that one young lady, probably similar age, maybe not 18, she... by this time, Nick had wanted to organise it, that they'd go back into worship and that I'd stand at the back and anybody that wanted prayer could come and he and I would pray for them. So I did as I was told and just waited at the back, really. Prayed for a couple of people. But then this young lady came and... she said severe back pain. Don't know about you, but there's always a little bit of me that goes, oh, that's my weakness. Because that's an issue that I'm experiencing victory over. When someone asks me to pray for them in that area, it's like, oh, okay. It's God. So I said to this young lady, I just explained to her what was going to happen. I said, is it okay if I put my... I'm going to put my hand on the top of your back. Is that okay? Yeah, that's okay. Gemma was there with the team. It's great when a bunch come and support you. It makes so much difference. I was so pleased they were there. But anyway, and Gemma said to me after, she said, I've never seen you so polite and gentle. I guess in one way, you have to be in the culture that people are in, so... I didn't just go... She said, I couldn't believe it. You went up to somebody and said, I'd like to pray for you. May I put my hand on your head? Is that okay? Anyway, I said more or less the same with this gentleman. I said, okay, I'm going to put my hand at the top of your spine here. I said, and you're going to... The anointing is going to come down from heaven. I said, I'm just a funnel. It's going to go down through your back and down through your legs. I said, you're going to feel it like heat. And she's looking at me as if with very big eyes. And I said, are you ready for that? So then you're going to be healed. And she's... So I just did that, just said, come. And she went doof on the floor. And then she sort of recovered a bit and knelt for a while. And then I sort of got down next to her and said, so what's going on? And she said, it happened just like you said. She was crying, but funnily enough, she was crying because she'd fell over. She's seen, obviously, that happen sometimes when people pray for people. And she'd always wanted that to happen to her, and it never had. We weren't talking about falling over. But the overwhelming thing to her was that God's presence had just come on her, and she'd just collapsed, and she'd experienced God. I'm just on finished. This is the last one. And she said, I've got a bit of pain still here. But she says, all the rest is gone. So I said, well, let's stand then. I said, okay, this time. No, it was at the back bottom the last time we prayed. I said, you put your hand there this time. I said, and you reach up and take hold of the healing. I said, I'll hold your hand. But you take that hold of that healing. I said, it's great that you're 90%. But let's go for everything. And she did. And then after we'd done that, she just started crying. She said, because she'd had this problem for 5 or 6 years. And she was just crying. She said, I'd forgotten what it was like to not be in pain. She said, I haven't been able to do my college work properly because I can't sit through lectures. She said, because I'm always in pain. I said to Nick, we really should let her give her story at the front to encourage some of the others. And eventually that could happen. But it was just great, just seeing God at work. So that's just a few stories for you this morning, rather than a preach. We're going to finish, but before we do, shall we stand? Now, when I prayed for Brian and Shona just now, you saw them experience God coming on them. We're going to do exactly the same thing now. No, I'm not going to lay hands on anybody, but we're just going to allow the presence of God to come. And if you're in pain, or you've got mental health issues, whatever they are, from it might be that you're dyslexic or dyspraxic. Don't get frightened by the label mental health. It's just a way of summing it up. But your brain needs the Lord. Then as the glory comes in a minute, I mean, the Lord's here, don't get me wrong, but there's going to be an increasing intensity in a minute. Don't try and get healed. But do take hold of it. How do you take hold of something without trying to be healed? You've got to be like the woman and just say, if I touch Jesus, that power that's in Jesus is inevitably going to affect my body or my mind. It cannot do anything else if it's God. It cannot do anything else if it's God. It must have an effect on you. And that's it. It's just a decision, really. And your feelings might say something else, and your feelings might say, I don't even know if God's real yet. Well, you can know whether God's real in a minute when he just comes all over you. But you don't try and make it happen. Oh, heal me, heal me, heal me, heal me, Jesus. We kind of get in the way a lot. It's like a small child that's trying to feed themselves, and you really just wish they'd let you use the spoon. Sometimes we just need to let God do it and not try and feed ourselves. We all need to grow up, but just let God be God and let the presence of God do the work. But also, for all of us, as we just... And we're not going to spend long doing this, believe me, just a few minutes. Just receive the presence. Because when you walk out of the summit today, you're taking that presence with you. And try and get times during the week, every day, from a minute to however long. Long times are good, but if it's only a minute, it's a minute. Where you just stop and you're just quiet. You can put your hands out if you like, so it looks, so you can feel like you're receiving, and just say, I receive the peace, or I receive the glory. Don't say anything else, but you'll try and make it happen. And then just let the glory wash over you. Great thing to do before you go into a work meeting, or you're meeting up with someone for a chat and things like that. Let the glory wash over you. Because this is different now. Okay. Are you ready? All right then. Let the glory fall. Let the presence of God, the peace of God, rest on your shoulders right now. You can do nothing except say yes. Now, if you're in any form of pain, or you have a mental, a mind issue that needs healing, and you're not too embarrassed, I encourage you not to be, then those in pain and those that need healing in your minds, might be depression, might be a personality disorder, diagnosis isn't really important. I want you to raise a hand, because this is a statement of faith that I'm going to receive my healing. If you need to release from pain, or healing in the mind is needed today, right now, I want you to raise one hand up really high, because I want to be able to see it. Okay. There's quite a few hands up. Now, where you are, where your hand is, some of you now will actually begin to feel like you've put it into honey, or something like runny honey. And that runny honey is the anointing, and it will just start running down your arm, but it will run down the inside of your arm and begin to flood around your body, going to wherever the pain is. I can see it happening to a few of you, because you're smiling and pulling funny expressions, because it's kind of weird. If you don't feel anything, it doesn't matter. This is what's happening. Some of you are just feeling pins and needles. That's often also a manifestation, the first one, that God's moving on you right now. Those of you that got healing needed in the mind, that anointing is flooding your brain right now. There's a healing taking place in your head right now. Cognitive function restored. Sight even being restored, that's linked to the brain. Depression being lifted and healed. Dyslexia gone. Some of you are going to remember your times tables, because your mind is getting cleared mathematically. You learnt them, you just could never get them out. You're going to find that they're there. 6 is a 36. 8 is a 48. Hallelujah, Jesus. There's people here right now, and you do have quite a few problems with reading. The Lord's dealing with the physical issue that was restricting that in your mind right now. And the label that has sometimes been spoken over you of being of a low IQ or stupid that you got at school because you weren't reading the same as others is broken over you. It was like a curse. It's gone. You're going to be picking up your Bible and you're going to be amazed at how all the words are coming together and making sense to you because the Lord is clearing your mind. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, put your hands down. Right, the people that had physical pain. Anybody that's felt some pain relief or it's all gone, could you just raise a hand? Okay. So there's two hands raised. What's the situation, Ben? And what's happening? Sore throat, glandular thing, and what's happening?
Pain is going.
Pain is going, so it's not gone yet.
It's got a lot more now, you said that.
Just put your hand over your throat. Okay, there's the rest. There's the rest. Complete healing. Okay, how's it doing now?
It's pretty much there.
It's pretty much there. 100% or 90%? About 95. Put your hand back there. Now stop trying.
Okay.
Just relax. Let the anointing do it. You might even feel like a honey taste in your mouth. What about you, Alex?
Pain in my head, like a headache kind of
thing. You had a headache.
Well, it's gone, but it was also back pains because like lower back. I don't know. The only time I've ever gone to see anyone about it, said it was growth pain or something, but it's been there for a long time.
Okay, so headache you had.
Yeah, it's kind of.
That's gone, or that's gone. Okay, this is healing. It's a headache, but it's gone. Back pain. You mentioned lower back pain that you've had for a long time. You don't know what it is. And muscle pain all over your back. Now, is that affected at all as we pray? What's happening there?
Can't really tell, but it didn't seem like it was as affected as much as my head.
So you were affected in the head, but not in the back.
Yeah.
Come out here. Jossie, just put your hands on his back. I think you should put both. Just let the glory come over him. What you're doing is you just see yourself standing in the glory with him, and Jesus is healing him. Oh, so Ben's, where are we now? Better. Not quite there. Anybody else, while we've been dealing with this, where they got mostly better? Well, Alex was completely healed of his headache. Anybody else? Has anybody else received any relief from pain? You have. What pain's come?
I felt like I had this band around my head. It was like constant pressure sort of thing. You know, I felt really tired and very, it's completely gone.
Just lifted. Wow, praise God. I mean, there's the mental things happening as well, but I'm not going to make you publicly declare stuff in case it's an embarrassing. It might be you want to talk to someone afterwards, or Peter. It'd be great, people who are healed, to see Peter, and he'll give you a testimony card. We've got a bit sort of, we've forgotten to do them. I want to finish, but also I don't want people to go without receiving everything that God has for you. So if you bear with me 2 more minutes and then we will finish, okay? And if you want to come and talk to me afterwards, that's great, and we'll just release the presents. But why not just receive everything you need right now? All right, so the people that were in pain before, put your hands up. Okay, if you're near one of those persons, put a hand on them, and when someone puts a hand on you, put your hand down. Okay, it can be more than one person. There's just a couple at the back here, if members of the congregation. That's it, Nige, thank you. Because remember, the glory's on you. Okay, so as you're standing there in the glory, just see the glory of God or the anointing like washing through that person. You might want to put your hand on their head so that they're washed from top to bottom. Thank you, Jesus. Now, while we're just doing that, if anybody who is being prayed for, or maybe even not being prayed for, because this happens too, if anybody's received that healing, I want you to put both hands in the air and just wave them so I can see. All right, if you've received either 100% or the healing has begun, just raise both hands. Okay, Joanne's got her hands in the air, Ron's got his hands in the air. Thank you, Jesus. There's a hand in the air at the back, so more healing is happening. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. There's hands up at the back now. Thank you for your glory, Lord. Okay, we're going to come to an end. Be blessed. Enjoy your coffee and tea. And have a great week. And take the glory with you.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.